We give God praise and honor for our presence here today, and it's always a joy to stand before you behind this sacred desk. Something about this sacred desk, Tom, I don't know if you're familiar with this, it keeps you humble, doesn't it? We thank God for the humility that comes in the midst of preaching. This morning I'll be speaking from the thought, the heaven we carry. And our text this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But I'm actually going to begin in the third verse of chapter 4. But before we get to that, just allow me to just say what a joy it is. I forgot to mention during the welcome that Dan is out of town visiting family in South Florida area, Clearwater area, checking on Dan's dad. And sends us greetings and regards. So let's please keep that family in our thoughts and prayers. Regarding the church and where we're going and headed in the sermon, the message today, I just want to share this quick springboard of a joke with you just to get us going. The story was told of a dollar bill who met a $20 bill one day, and this is their conversation. "Hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you around here much." The 20 answered, "Well, I've been hanging out at the casinos, went on a cruise back to the U.S. for a while, went to a couple of baseball and basketball games, hung out at the mall, went out to eat several times, over to the mountains, down at the beach, you know, that kind of stuff. What about you?" To this, the $1 bill replied with a sigh, "Oh, well, you know, same old stuff. Church, and more church." Anyway, you'll catch it on the way home. I'm ministering about the inner value that we all bring to the table. We all have a special uniqueness to ourselves. We all have an inner treasure, is what the scriptures talk about this morning. And so I wanted to connect with that treasure this morning. And if you have your Bibles, open them or follow along on the screens with me. Before we go any further, let's just bow now for a brief moment of prayer. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far on our way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into Your light, keep us forever on Your path, we pray. God, we come to You now asking for Your Holy Spirit to be upon us in a special way. Open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and receive a word from the Lord this morning. Speak to me, through me, and for me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord. You are my rock and my radical redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before I get to the text, I brought along with me some help. I brought a visual aid with me. I don't know if you all can see this for where you are, but I couldn't find macadamia nuts and I couldn't find walnuts. But I was able to find good old-fashioned pecans. You can't beat a pecan. And in the text, it says, as we'll see in just a minute, that we are hard-pressed on every side. I don't know if you can hear that. We're hard-pressed on every side is what Paul says. And I thought about that as I was preparing for the message. And I wanted to just give you a piercing reminder that we are hard-pressed on every side, but the Bible says we're not crushed. And so I want to talk about the reason of why we are not crushed and why we are not abandoned and why we are not destroyed. And why we can celebrate, because though it feels like hell is dominating and winning, we actually carry heaven within us. Colossians 1:27 says it this way, "Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's also known as the King of heaven." And so once again, I just want to remind you that we all are carriers, we who are believers, worshipers of the Most High God. We are carriers of heaven. Listen now to the reading of the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. It reads, "But we have this..." I'm sorry, I'm going to begin in verse 3. Excuse me one minute here. Verse 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Verse 4. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God
in the face of Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Other translations read, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. There's also a second text that's also found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can read it further. Paul reveals some of those persecutions. If you remember, Paul was one of the greatest apostles regarding the church, and he reveals a litany of persecutions that are paradoxical persecutions. It says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, the distresses and beatings, imprisonments, and in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and in hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. He's identified a mysterious paradox, if you will. Let's now look at the text as we approach this particular text. One can see some strong similarities between the Bible's context and world and our context and world today. And that just as Paul was faced with existential predispositions and challenges of his apostleship, we too have our share of growing tensions, trials, and tribulations today. Even the pressures that push and pull us beyond comfort and convenience propose some overwhelming challenges, even tensions, if you will. Tensions in the political square between the right and the left. Tensions in the public school system regarding FCAT results and teachers' merit pay. Tensions in today's economy that continues to struggle for balance. Tensions even in the current graduating class of 2011. Any graduates in the house this morning by any chance? Well, tensions even within that class due to the uncertainty of a shifting job market. We're overwhelmed by tensions. When reading the newspaper and watching the evening news, it's easy to become discouraged or misled to believe that hell is dominating and evil is winning. The tornadoes, rising flood waters, The teenager who was shot, lost the gang violence. All of these pressures and issues begin to bombard us with pressure and tension. It was J.R.R. who speaks to the positive aspect of this. He says it this way, no man can estimate what is really happening at the present. All we do know, and that to a large extent by direct experience, is that evil labors with vast power and perpetual success, only in vain, preparing always only the soil for unexpected good to sprout in. Amen, church? In other words, we're going through a difficult time in life. And I want to remind the church this morning, though we may be facing hell, we actually are carriers of heaven. The word this morning. And so that's what I'm going to be ministering about. And here's the premise that I want to give you early on. Paul reveals for us that God can take human vulnerabilities and frailties and use them as instruments for his good. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that. I knew I wouldn't get any amens on that because we don't like the sound and the feel of it. That God will actually use my flaw as fuel for my future. God will transform a vulnerability
and use that vulnerability as an instrument to achieve his victory. Amen? And so that's what Paul is actually talking about in this text. Two words that became apparent this week through staff meetings and watching even the Oprah Winfrey show. In a staff meeting this week, we learned from Breen Brown, who did an excellent job. She's a research analyst. Listen to what she said about vulnerability. She says, your place of vulnerability is a core of shame. It is also a place of fear, a place of struggle for worthiness. But catch this. It's also the birthplace of joy, creativity, hope, belonging, and love. You see the two tensions there. Oprah Winfrey, as it relates to vulnerability, needing validation, says it this way. Within her final episode this past Wednesday, she says, I've interviewed over 30,000 people, and they all wanted one thing. Can you guess? Because of their vulnerability, they wanted validation. And here are the three questions centered in that desire for validation. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say to you matter? Can we relate to that this morning? Do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say to you even matter? In other words, am I important? Am I valuable? Do I have worth within me? Do you value the worth in me? And so we wrestle with that from time to time. And so the first encouraging word that I want to share with you this morning is that we are not alone. Amen, church? We are not alone. We may go through trial and tribulation and battle after battle, but guess what? We are not alone. It's easy to go through a fight. It's easy to have a fight when you know someone is in your corner. At least it is for me. When I know I have a backup or an ace in my corner, it's easier for me to fight than fighting all alone. First point, once again, we are not alone. I want to just delay this passage, if I can just take my time this morning, just a little further. Paul really reveals the science at work between life and death. He reveals a science. Newton's third law of motion says this. For every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. Let me say it again. For every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. That's Newton's third law of motion. Now, I want you to see this in the text this morning. Verse 8 says it this way. Here's the action. We are hard pressed on every side. But here's the reaction. But we're not crushed. We are perplexed. That's the action. Here's the reaction. But we're not in despair. We are persecuted. That's the action. But here's the reaction. We are not abandoned. We are struck down. That's the action. But here's the reaction. We're not destroyed. In other words, friends, God has a surpassing power at work in us that counters every challenge we'll ever face. Isn't that good news? Regardless of what comes against the body of Christ, there is a surpassing power at work through Jesus Christ that counters every challenge the church will ever face. That's good news, saints. In other words, God can work through the challenges. He can use the challenge as an instrument to accomplish his good. And that's the premise of this morning message. That our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses, our frailties, even our scars, God will take all of that and work through it to accomplish his good. Some of you all don't believe me. Come here, Moses. Just let me use you for a quick example. Moses had a frailty of a speech impediment. He stuttered and stuttered and stuttered, and it was embarrassing for Moses to speak in public. But God utilized that frailty to accomplish his good. You say, well, David, how do you know that? Because when he went to Pharaoh, he began to babble on. Let my people go. God used the human frailty of Moses to accomplish his victory. Oh, you still don't believe me? What about Esther? What about Esther, who was embarrassed because of her national origin? She was a Jew. She wore that as a frailty, but God utilized that frailty, and he accomplished liberation for an entire nation. Amen, church? What about Daniel? Daniel was outnumbered by the lions in the lion's den. God utilized that moment to accomplish his good.
What about the three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fire? God utilized that frailty to accomplish His good. And just as He used theirs, He can also use ours. Amen, church? And so how do we find a way to become comfortable with our scars? How do we find a way to become comfortable with our vulnerabilities? So to the point that we no longer cover them as shameful scars, but we wear them as if they are sashes and badges of honor, bearing witness to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9:3 says, it's when I'm weak, that's when I'm actually strong. How is it that God utilizes human frailties to accomplish good? And so it's a principle in there for us to remember and to consider. Here it is. Our inner treasure transcends our trials. Simply put, never devalue your treasure because of your trial. Sometimes when we're going through difficult times, we begin to equate, oh, I must not be very smart because I'm in the middle of this hardship. Or I don't have value because I'm going through this storm. Don't ever devalue your treasure because of your trial. Because they're two different things. Let me go a little further here in the text, if you don't mind. There's a story that I want to share this time. And it's the story of the two water pots. One of the water pots hung on a pole on the shoulder of a servant. The pot was beautiful. It was perfect. It was made well. There were no leaks. There were no chips, no cracks. It was perfect. On the other hand, this other pot was cracked. It was chipped. It spout had a bad chip in it. And it was imperfect. It had a crack in it. But every day this servant will walk back and forth 3 to 4 times a day to the master's house. He will walk from the master's house all the way to the river to fill these water pots, carrying the water back and forth. So one day, the cracked water pot grew enough boldness and said, and the servant looked down and they began to talk. And the cracked water pot says, you know what? I have this huge crack in my side. I'm worthless. Every time you take me up this hill, I'm embarrassed. I'm vulnerable because I only can give half measure of water. But my perfect neighbor over here, he can give full portion of water. I don't think that I'm all that good. Do me a favor, Mr. Servant. Throw me in the bottom of the river. At least the turtles and the fish can live in me. And they're going back and forth. And the servant begins to say, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, well, why would you hold on to me? I have a crack in my side. I'm damaged goods. Throw me in the river. And they're going back and forth. And finally, the servant just says, no, I'm not going to do that. And as a matter of fact, when we go back up the hill today, I want you to pay attention to your side of the path. And as they're walking back up, the servant is carrying the water pots. And he's pointing out, now, do you see all of the beautiful flowers on this side of the path? Notice the flowers aren't on this side, but they're only on your side of the path. He says, yeah, I see that. What's your point? He says, well, walk a little further. So they go a little further, and they're up now to the front door, and he opens the master's door. And there at the master's table is a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And the servant says, now, water pot, can you see the bouquet of flowers? He says, yeah, I see the flowers. He says, well, let me now reveal a little secret to you. I've known about your crack all along. I put the water in you, and I actually planted flower seeds all along your side of the path. And the water pot began to take all of that in. He says, and you see those beautiful bouquet of flowers? They wouldn't have grown without you. What's your point, David? What's your point, David? Here's my point. Each of us has flaws. But if we allow it, the Lord will use our flaws to grace the Father's table. Someone in here today is suffering with low self-esteem. A business didn't work out and now you're depressed. A marriage is going through the rocks and now you're depressed thinking it's your fault. I'm damaged goods. I didn't raise my children right. They didn't turn out that right. I have health frailties and issues and concerns. And God is saying, don't worry about the scars and the cracks. I'm in control here. I know what I'm doing with your life. Let's remember the lesson from these two flower pots. Because one felt as if he was unvaluable, worthless. Throw me in the bottom of the river. Some of us, even in the back of our minds, feel, I'm better off dead and out of here. But God is saying, no. I have a word for you. I have a work for you to do. I have a calling and a mission for you to fulfill. And I will work through your frailties. I will work through your vulnerabilities because I love you. I'll work through that low self-esteem.
I'm going to actually increase it. I'll work through your hardships. I'm actually going to provide for your good. Just this past week, 2 weeks ago, I got a call from a family out of Lake City area. And they moved here. And dad was coming down to check on his daughter, who has a tumor and a tumor somewhere. And they're working through that issue. And he was homeless. And we began to pray and call around for jobs. And we put him up two nights in the hotel. And that led to another thing. Make a long story short, he is now employed and with an apartment for he and his daughter. What am I telling you? God can take our frailties, our setbacks, and our flaws, and he can use them to accomplish his good. So how do we find a way to celebrate these flaws? How do we find a way to celebrate our vulnerabilities? We have to change our mindset. Number one, we have to remember we're not alone. Number two, we have to remember that it is he who is in us that is greater than he who is in the world. Another author said it this way, a temporary circumstance does not outweigh eternal hope and salvation. Did you catch it? In other words, my challenge and my problems, they're just temporary. But the hope of salvation that's in me, it's for an eternity. And that's what we have to stay connected with. That gives us the balance and the hope to find on and to see what the end is going to be. In closing, friends, we have to learn how to distinguish the difference between what God is saying and what human frailty and defeat is saying. Human frailty will say, it's impossible. But God will say, all things are possible. Human frailties may say, I'm too tired, I'm too weak, I'm too torn. But God comes in and says, I want to give you rest. Human frailties will say, nobody really cares about me and loves me. And God says, I love you unconditionally. Human frailties will say, I can't go on. But God steps in and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Human frailties will say, I can't figure this out. It's too difficult for me. I don't know which way to go. God steps in and he says, I've ordered your steps. Come follow me. Human frailties will say, I am not able to accomplish this. And God says, through me, you can do all things. Human frailties will say, it's not worth it. And God says, I'm your worth, I'm your value, and you are worth it. Just a few more. Human frailties will say, I can't forgive myself for A, B, and C and the thing that I did. And God says, when I died on the cross for you, I forgave you. Human frailties will say, I can't manage life. It's too difficult. God says, I'm your undergirding power, and I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Just a few more. Human frailties will say, I don't have enough faith. And God will prove I've given every man a good measure of faith. Human frailties will say, I'm not smart enough. I don't have the expertise. And God says, I'm your strength, I'm your courage, and I'm your wisdom. In closing, human frailties will say, I feel all alone. I'm abandoned. Worthless goods. And God says, I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And friends, in closing, friends, God's mercy is for our past mistakes. God's love is for our present needs. God's sovereignty is for our future. Don't forget the heaven you carry. Even though we face hell day in and day out, the Lord Jesus Christ provides a heaven for us to carry. Will you now pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the joy of this moment. We pray right now for the seed of the word that's sown in hearts and minds, that it will not be disturbed by Satan and his tricks. God, help us to remember that you love us, that you have placed the treasure within us. And though it feels like we're defeated, we know that you're working all things out for your good. We pray for every heart and every mind now, for those who don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Open our hearts. May we receive you fully this day. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.